So, when you think of tea, you probably picture those, neat rows of perfectly cultivated tea plants, right? But what if we told you about tea that grows, well, deep in the wild, from trees with roots that plunge like over 50 feet into the earth? Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really embarking on a fascinating journey into the world of wild tea. And this isn't your everyday brew, believe me. It's ancient, it's untamed, and it has this story rooted deep, deep in the earth itself.
Yeah, exactly. And our mission for this deep dive is really to unpack what makes wild tea so unique. We want to understand its extraordinary origins and, discover what makes it such an unparalleled experience. We've sifted through our sources, pulled out the key nuggets of knowledge, really, to help you get well informed about this pretty enigmatic drink.
Okay, so let's start right at the beginning then. What is wild tea? You hear it called ancient tree tea sometimes too. How's it fundamentally different from the tea most of us, drink every day?
Well, the fascinating thing is that wild tea originates from these ancient trees, and they're thriving in really remote, pristine environments, completely without any human intervention. So these aren't plants lined up in neat rows on a farm. They're found right in the heart of untamed landscapes. Some of these trees, I mean, they've been standing for centuries, centuries, drawing their vitality, their life force, straight from the depths of the earth.
That's just incredible. Ancient trees just out there, living wild, untouched. I can only imagine these forests steeped in mystery, history. It makes you think each tree is like a silent guardian, right? Watching centuries of change happen all around it.
Exactly right. And that deep connection, that history and wildness, it infuses the tea with this profound sense of timelessness. It's quite something. Unlike cultivated teas, which humans have shaped over generations, wild tea gives you this direct link, almost like a portal, to the tea plant's original wild genetic blueprint. It's like tasting tea as it might have existed millennia ago.
Okay, now you mentioned the depths of the earth. Our deep dive really pulled out one aspect that seems truly amazing, the root systems of these trees. You said 50 feet. How deep are we talking, really? And what makes that so special?
We are talking about truly remarkable taproots. And yes, penetrating the soil, sometimes exceeding 50 feet, is pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. And the why behind that depth is crucial. See, these super deep roots allow the trees to access this unique range of minerals, trace minerals, and complex organic compounds, stuff that's just completely unreachable by your standard cultivated tea plants with shallower roots.
Right.
It's like they're tapping into some kind of hidden ancient pantry deep within the earth.
Okay, so they're getting these unique minerals. What does that actually do to the taste, to the flavor profile of the tea itself? How's it different from, say, tea grown in more normal soil?
The impact on flavor is, well, it's profound. This deep access, it gives the leaves a complexity and a richness that, frankly, cultivated teas just can't match. And it's not just about the minerals, There's this whole biodiversity signature. Think about the micro ecosystem around each individual wild tree, the unique soil microbes, the other plants nearby. All of that infuses the tea with this constantly evolving, unrepeatable complexity. It means each batch is essentially a distinct vintage.
A distinct vintage, I like that.
Yeah, and the taste, often described as earthy, very smooth, really full-bodied, is a direct reflection of that incredible root system.
So these tenacious roots, they don't just affect the flavor, they also make the trees themselves really resilient, long-lived, able to handle tough conditions.
Absolutely, that's a critical distinction. Their ability to thrive, sometimes for centuries, in challenging wild environments, definitely imbues the tea itself with a kind of robust character. It mirrors that strength.
It all sounds incredible, this wild growth. But okay, how does this amazing stuff actually get from, some remote forest into our cups? What's the process? Bringing it to market must be tricky.
Oh, it's anything but simple. Harvesting wild tea is incredibly delicate and very labor-intensive. You have to imagine people navigating these dense, often pathless forests, sometimes climbing these ancient towering trees.
Climbing them, wow.
Yes, climbing. And then meticulously handpicking individual leaves. You have to be so careful not to disturb the tree or the ecosystem around it. These are skilled foragers, often people whose families have passed down this knowledge for generations. They know exactly which leaves to select, ensuring the health of the tree and, well, minimizing their impact. It's about sustainability and quality.
Okay, so they gather these precious leaves very carefully, but the journey's not over then, is it? What happens next? There must be some traditional craft involved to turn them into this amazing brew.
That's exactly right. Once harvested, These leaves go through traditional processing methods. And the whole point is to preserve their natural integrity, lock in those rich, distinctive qualities we've been talking about. It really is an art form, you know, refined over centuries. And then when you finally brew wild tea, it often becomes this, well, this intimate ritual. It's a chance to connect with the essence of those ancient trees. It really engages all your senses. You watch the leaves unfurl, see the rich colors develop in the cup, smell that incredible aroma, and then, of course, taste that unique flavor profile.
It really does sound like much more than just grabbing a quick cup of tea. You mentioned the flavor profile again.
Yeah.
What makes it stand out? Is there something really transformative about it?
Definitely. The flavor profile is just so unique, so layered. It's genuinely impossible to replicate in cultivated teas. Our sources talk about this whole spectrum of notes that can unfold in the cup.
Mm-hmm.
You might get surprising floral hints, maybe some subtle sweetness, then deeper woody or even spicy undertones. Each cup really does tell the story of where it came from, its wild origins. And it can change with each infusion, echoing that unique biodiversity signature we mentioned earlier.
So it really is more than just a beverage then. The sources use this phrase, a holistic experience. What does that actually mean for the person brewing and drinking it, beyond just the taste?
Yeah, you've hit on a really crucial point there. It's often presented as this holistic experience, something that nourishes both your body and, well, maybe your soul too. This journey through the wild, even just through the cup, it connects you with the land in a really intimate way. The tea reflects the essence of its environment. So it's about more than taste. It's about connection to nature, maybe finding a moment of real presence.
Okay. Beyond the amazing taste in this compelling story, did the sources point to anything else? Any other remarkable aspects, maybe related to, I don't know, health or inherent qualities?
Oh, absolutely. One thing that really stands out is that wild tea is packed, absolutely packed, with antioxidants. Things like catechins and polyphenols, these are powerful compounds, right? They're the molecules behind many of tea's famous health benefits, fighting inflammation, boosting immunity. Think of them as nature's tiny bodyguards for your system.
Right. Antioxidants are always good.
Exactly. Now, lots of teas have antioxidants, but the thinking here is that wild tea's deep roots pull up a broader, maybe more diverse spectrum of these compounds, plus those rare trace minerals we talked about. So potentially, it offers a more comprehensive nutritional profile than its cultivated cousins. Some studies suggest regular consumption could support heart health, digestion, immune function, contributing to overall well-being.
That sounds really powerful, but there's always a but, isn't there? We have to be clear, this isn't some kind of magic potion. It shouldn't replace proper medical advice, correct?
Precisely. That's a vital point. While wild tea shows promise and has these potential benefits, it is absolutely essential to remember it should not replace medical advice or treatment. You should always consult a healthcare professional before making it, or anything really, a regular part of your health regimen.
Good. Okay. So this incredible journey from wild forest to our teacup, it also makes you think about the bigger picture. How does wild tea fit into the world, its impact? And where exactly are these elusive plants found?
Well, a key aspect is sustainability. Wild tea, by its very nature, grows sustainably. There's no need for pesticides, no harmful chemicals. The plants just thrive naturally in these pristine environments. And that careful hand harvesting process we discussed inherently minimizes the environmental impact.
That's really good to hear. And it's not just in one hidden corner of the world, is it? Where else can you find these amazing wild tea trees growing?
No, indeed. Wild tea grows in several regions globally. China is a major one, especially Yunnan province. Then there's India, particularly the Darjeeling district. You also find it on the island of Sri Lanka and in Nepal, up in the Himalayan mountains.
Wow, quite a range. And I guess each of those places, with its unique climate and soil, its terroir, must bring something different to the tea, right? How does that influence the specific varieties?
You've absolutely hit it. That concept of terroir is crucial. It encompasses the climate, the soil, the altitude, the geography,
yeah,
everything about the place. And it gives each wild tea its distinct flavor profile. So for example, Yunnan wild tea from China, often known for its earthy richness, maybe notes of aged wood, sometimes a hint of spice, really complex.
Okay.
Then you contrast that with, say, Darjeeling wild tea from the Himalayas. That can surprise you. It might have these bright, almost fruity muscatel notes. Some call Darjeeling the champagne of teas. And the wild version has that elegance, but with a well, wilder spirit.
Interesting.
And then Ceylon wild tea from Sri Lanka. There's a specific mention of forest hill tea that's often known for a bolder, more robust flavor. You might find notes of citrus or even chocolate sometimes. And Nepal wild tea, again from the Himalayas but a different region, it has its own unique terroir, often yielding a cleaner, more floral, maybe subtly sweet profile. Each one is a different journey.
It really sounds like whether you're, you know, a serious tea connoisseur already, or maybe just someone looking for something completely new and intriguing, wild tea offers this truly captivating experience.
It really is an adventure for your senses. It's unique, it's special, and it promises to take you on quite a memorable journey in the cup.
So maybe something to think about. Consider what centuries of untamed growth, drawing life from 50 feet below the surface, what that might infuse into just a simple cup of tea. What deeper story is wild tea waiting to tell you?